Hello, everybody.
What's up?
My name is Chris Chaput.
My name is John Fusner.
We come to you as the Full Score team.
Yes.
That's right. Welcome to our second Tabletop Talks. Every once in a while, if there's something that we want to share with you guys, talk about, also build suspense for the next official TTT movement, Movement 11. It's the first time our party meets each other, finally. And so we wanted to ramp up to that movement and also let you guys know about something that is dear to the creation of these movements, which is our score. Our first two collections of the score just dropped across all streaming services. So Spotify, Ooh. Apple Music, Amazon, literally anywhere you can stream music. They are under the Tabletop Tales Collection 1 and 2, and it is every piece of music, every musical sound effect, every town tune and tavern song, character theme that you have heard in the podcast in order.
Yeah, so we were really excited to be able to put this fully out on streaming services just because we worked so hard on it and really wanted you all to be able to just listen to it.
Because a lot of these, one, they're just fun to listen to. Hopefully they're great music just to listen to, instrumental music to study to. But also, a lot of these tracks are loopable if you do play D&D or really any tabletop games. They are really fun to loop in the back of those as well.
So go check it out. Follow us on all those streaming services.
Yes. John, do you want to tell everybody from birth, just starting from the beginning?
April 3rd, 1996.
What your deal is?
10:55 a.m. in Missouri. The composer and musician, John, was born. No, but actually, we just wanted to kind of, I guess, touch on our musical background, because me and Chris both are bringing that as our asset to the team, and that's kind of where our strength lies. Me personally, I'm a songwriter in Nashville. I play piano for a bunch of artists in town as well. I've also done a bunch of the film scores for a lot of my friends and people in the Belmont Film School, so there is a little bit of score background as well, so kind of mixed songwriting with that score background, and that melds really well with the kind of approach to this podcast. And then being a piano player since the second grade, that has helped tremendously too with building out the tracks and also kind of putting down our ideas and kind of arranging on that end. But that's my background. Chris, you wanna hit up your background?
Yes, I studied voice at Belmont here in Nashville. Grew up kind of as a singer-songwriter, artist as well. Play a lot of acoustic instruments, play a lot of real instruments. So I feel like, I guess my niche is in live tracking, real instruments, writing from a songwriter, artist point of view, which is why I think a lot of our score can come off as songs sometimes. Mm-hmm. But also music is super visual for me. So I actually started a score project in college that I think is gonna come out next year, this year maybe. First time I ever did it, but fell in love with putting music to a visual or like an environment, basically. There's something about music in that way that clicks. Music putting you in a space. So that's kind of why the score clicked too. The podcast doesn't have a visual, you know, mm-hmm. but you're like imagining these places with the characters, with the sound design, and the music just kind of adds into that. So
yeah, something else I guess to note too is I feel like me and Chris play really well off of each other because Chris can play, like you said, a lot of those acoustic instruments, very skilled in that regards, whereas my strength is mainly piano and the production side of it. So usually I'm sitting on Logic. We use Logic Pro X, shout out.
Thank you, Logic. Thank you, Apple. Do not sue us for saying your name in this.
So I'm usually kind of driving on the Logic side of it. And I have the piano in front of me and Chris has all those stringed instruments. And that's kind of how we bounce back and forth. And that's kind of how a day will go between us. And also why we go really well together, because I can kind of sit behind the computer and do more of the production heavy stuff, and then Chris is over here playing those acoustic instruments and writing the parts. Also, he has a good ear for like harmonies and stuff, so that really helps with arranging things as well.
And you, I've never told you this, man.
Well, dude, tell me.
You are like an infinite well of ideas. Like,
dude, thanks, man.
Truly, you are. Where I feel like I love trying to find like the heart behind something, and you are oftentimes able to just spit out so many different musical ideas in like 30 seconds for us to basically play with, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas like I might take way too long to be like, what is this musical idea? What is it? You're able to be like, oh dude, it could be this, or it could be this, or it could be this. And then it's like, ah, that one.
Yeah. Dave, well, thanks, man.
Yeah, man. I love you, man.
Dude, love you too, man.
This has been awesome. Let's talk about where we started with the score. That's who we are coming into the idea, like, hey, we should do some music for this.
Right.
So the idea is like, okay, a podcast has a main theme. Okay, let's write a main theme. And then what if maybe some of our characters have these themes? And we started last spring?
I want to say like about a year ago, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just kind of got together, made the main theme. Like Chris said, made some character themes because we knew we wanted to have a character theme per character because that would be fun every time you would hear the character, the theme would play. And we sort of had a vague approach to it where we would have, you know, a battle theme play here, an adventure theme play here, and then...
Yeah, like, oh, we can fly this song in a bunch of different...
Like, here's this boss battle.
Yeah,
the same theme over that boss battle.
Yes.
Here's the same thing. But then we were like...
But...
Wait, as we're making more and more of these character themes, we're like, oh, dude, what if we do like an Oakshire theme? And then we did that, and then we were like, oh, well, we got to do a Dagger's Edge theme. And then it just started stemming from kind of a blanket approach to a very like, all right, man, we're in this.
Yes.
Like, this is our life now.
Writing music for like very specific moments. And those are what ended up feeling the most immersive too. It feels so much more like you're there. So a lot of the instruments that we chose, again, were really intentional. And the one that we started with is the banjo, because we didn't have the score when we played through the story. And so really the first musical instrument that we had in the world was Crispin's banjo. He would write these songs, you know, for the sessions and play the banjo as this musical, magical creature.
Right, like literally in the sessions, by the way. Like, I remember you said you were going to play a bard, and then that's when I learned that you played banjo, but then you would literally play these songs at the session. So it was kind of a wild little experience there, just kind of immersifying ourselves in that room too with you playing live music. So that was really cool.
So it's like, okay, the banjo is in there because Crispin's banjo is right in there. So what if, we always said this when we were early scoring stuff, of like, what if we treated the banjo like it was Mickey Mouse's magic wand? Right. From like Fantasia, you know, Mickey has this magic wand that is bringing a bunch of different things to life. And so we wanted the banjo to feel that way, which is why it's one of the first things you hear in the main theme. It's like an usher into the world of Harborn, plucking around.
Yeah, like the sound waves are hitting off of all the corners of the caves, like
mm-hmm. right.
kind of making it all magical.
So that led us into the main theme. Mm-hmm. And then that also led us into our like main character themes too, helping us choose those. But I guess before we get into those main character themes, the main theme was also basically building our library of sounds, like our word bank almost. Like, okay, and this main theme is going to be almost all the instruments and melody lines of our world combined that we can then look back at
right. And
like pull from.
Yeah, like Seth's cello mm-hmm. is in there.
Yeah.
You have Willow's flute, mm-hmm. Crispin's banjo, mm-hmm. for instance. You hear the drum of the hero beating around in there.
Yes.
So taking all those elements of the world into the main theme was what we wanted to do to just kind of solidify almost like the rules for
yes.
the score
yes.
in a way. Not that we wanted to limit ourselves, but we right. kind of wanted to establish kind of a guideline
yeah.
of the realm musically. And then be able to bend it and go from there.
To go back on what you were saying, that's also how we treated those first almost vague blanket songs, which are adventure, battle, these songs that are what we now call world songs.
Journey.
It's like songs that are the tone of the world and are meant to be used in multiple scenarios. They also hold the rules a little bit because some of them are real instrument, but also they're the marriage of real instrument and MIDI instrument, but like very specific MIDI instruments,
right, you know?
Because the tone is that it's kind of a gritty, earthy world, mm-hmm. but D&D, it's like kind of a nostalgic game, you know?
It right, has like it started in the 80s, so
yes.
like you have a little bit of synth elements,
yes.
you know?
You have a lot of that feeling of like, it's pizza night, we're hunkered down in the basement, and we're like playing this session for 12 hours together as best friends. Like past the Cheetos, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And so those MIDI sounds that are in like Battle, and they're very, some of it is kind of like video gamey.
Yeah.
That was kind of our start. And then from there, we launched into our main character themes and instruments.
Yeah, why don't we start with like Willib?
Sure.
So he's a halfling. I feel like when you think of halfling, you think flute. So luckily Cam plays the flute.
Brilliant flute player.
Yeah.
Has a flute album out streaming on Spotify, K Marigold, To the Sea.
Yeah, look that up.
Look it up.
And we wanted to kind of balance that between kind of an acoustic instrument take on a theme. So that's why we have a very like Baroque counter melody flute and acoustic guitar bouncing back and forth from two different kind of melodies. One being like a bass melody, one being like a high-end melody.
What's important about Willib is, in a way, he's almost like the biggest concept that we ever tackled in a character theme. Because, again, whether it's the instrument choice, how they're played on the instrument, or the notes that are actually played, these themes also have hidden meaning too. So like with Willib, his whole thing is that he's a druid, you know, he's a shapeshifter, and his other form is this bear that he has fallen in love with,
Sandra
the bear. Mm-hmm. And so Willib, his theme in its true form is that it's a duet, and it reflects, there's this halfling side of Willib, and there's this Sandra side of Willib. And so if you follow the musical journey of Willib, you hear his main theme, which is the duet, and then you hear Sandra's theme later on, which is the bass line of the duet on a string bass. And then as you move, they fall in love and their melodies become more and more intertwined to where Sandra's spirit is both melodies magically intermixing and explaining Willib's duality of not only is he fully halfling, but he is also now fully this
brown bear.
This mother bear. Yeah. I love it too because Willib's personality is kind of that way too. He's this brave do-gooder, stands up for what's right character, but also becomes enraged and, you know, he puffs out his chest and he points his finger at wrongdoing.
Yeah, he's protective of, you know, what is right in the world. And that's what a mother bear does. Moving on to Glonk.
Glonk
was actually one of probably the quickest themes that we wrote. Because, unfortunately, none of us play the tuba.
Yes.
But Glonk is a tuba. So we were just like, yeah, I'm going to throw a tuba on. Let's get some sort of a melody that kind of just is a rogue 7 foot tall half orc.
Yeah, melody wise, where we started with Glonk was like the traditional brass charge that hear like at a football game of da 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 da, da charge.
Because he would always be running it like I walk straight in.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's my
walk
Cam
straight
impression.
In is Glonk.
My Glonk impression, excuse me.
And so we just took the charge melody of da 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 and made the 5 a sharp 4. And it just automatically is like this unsettling, like, this is wrong. Which is kind of also what Glonk is. He's 7 foot tall, huge, obvious orc, but he's a rogue. You know, he plays as this sneaky character. And so it's the da 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 da. It's that sharp 4. And it's played on the wrong instrument, too. It's like not a trumpet. It's played on a tuba. And it automatically is like, that's Glonk. He's charging in, but like it's kind of off.
Right.
But like it's working.
Yeah, that was super fun to make. The fourth character, Seth. That was a super fun one to approach because we originally wrote it on MIDI. And then Drew, like, he's also an insane cello player.
Cello player. He also plays on Emerald Dragon Egg,
yes,
too.
That's him on Emerald Dragon Egg. He's doing a lot of the spider auxiliary sounds as well on that cello, which is super cool. Like, very
hairy,
versatile
stringy
cello player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we kind of brought to him this idea for Seth, inspired by, there was a Game of Thrones track with plucky pizzicato strings, and that was the little idea board for that. And then I kind of brought that to Drew, and he was like, oh, like, so sort of like this. And then he played this arpeggiated chord. We were like, this is Seth. He is this very mysterious, shadowy angel that has this intrigue to him that you want to get to know a little bit more about him, but he won't say anything because he's going through his own thing.
Yeah. A really crucial part of Seth's theme are these swirling overtones that are kind of around him always. And I think Kyle said it best. He said, the music knows how powerful Seth is.
Yes.
And we won't give anything much away about his journey, but him being a fallen angel, learning through this story, like what that means, mm-hmm. was reflective of Seth.
You can tell he is celestial.
Yes.
Which was the goal there. And, yes. So we were really, really stoked when that finally came together. Mm. And that also was one of those moments where we were like, yeah, that's Seth. Mm. Like, yep. Boom.
Uh-huh.
Well, moving on to some other characters we can just touch on.
Yeah, those four gave us our, okay, here's how we can think about characters. It helped us score a lot of the other minor characters.
Which we originally were not going to do.
Right, totally.
But we saw how immersive it was and yeah. how much we liked doing it that we were like, well, all the other characters that we're going to be interacting with, we got to make them some sounds.
So our first forever fictional characters that we meet.
Garal and Griddle.
Garal and Griddle.
That, I don't know where that idea came from, but I just thought it'd be so funny if there was an orc and a goblin as like the duo. One was like the classic like beefy orc and the other was the most timid little mouse of a goblin. And the fact that they would be the duo sounded so fun to me. Mm. And then when we were making that score, we sat down behind the piano and I was kind of like playing a little part. And then I think, Chris, you were the one who said like, dude, they are a piano. If you think about it, like Griddle is the high end of the piano. Grawl is the low end. So we just got to record something that is like almost like a duet on one piano with right. two people playing it.
Yeah, like if Willem is a duet on right. different instruments. Growl and Griddle are the same instrument because right. they kind of operate like as one mind, right. as one character
yeah,
block.
Yeah.
So they're one instrument, but like two vastly different octaves of the same instrument. So yeah, I think we tracked that one even just on the same piano
yeah,
together.
Like, I think I was playing the high end and you were playing the uh-huh, low end and yeah. we just hit record and it's one, like one piano track yep. just through and through.
And that's Growl and Griddle right there.
Yeah. So that was super fun. let's move on to Vias.
Ah,
he's
yes.
He's a primary character for yes. sure in this first arc.
So we meet him in Dagger's Edge, which right. is this like sneaky, like rough, badass
yeah,
outlaw.
Yeah, your mercenaries. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like outlaw town. Another fun thing that we've gotten to do is basically, again, if we're treating our main theme like our ultimate bank of sounds and melody, sometimes we'll reach a character and be like, oh, this character is this part of the main theme. So there's this little flute lick that happens in the main theme that we tracked. And then we just pulled those notes from the main theme and said, I think that just little flute lick right. is just him because it has that like bounty hunter. It's kind of like the Mandalorian like yeah. flute thing. It's,
yeah, he was definitely like our Mandalorian figure of like, yeah. he will do what he needs to do to get his tasks done.
And so like his main theme is just the three or four notes of the flute. But then I feel like the most fun part of Vias for us was when we get to Vias's death, we got to sit down and be like, okay, well, we wrote his theme is a three note flute lick. How do we pull an entire score moment out of this? Which was really fun, you know, being able to score an entire scene, basically saying, okay, well, these three notes have to be in there right. on this instrument.
And also sitting down that day with the three notes and we're like, how are we gonna do this, man?
Yeah.
Like,
why did we do this?
Yeah, why did we choose to do this? And we're like, dude, it's his moment. He needs to have his moment. But yeah, Vias was fun. Why don't we talk about the Frostmage, the primary threat?
Yes. So at this point, we already had a lot of piano mm-hmm. In our score. We even had like a toy piano with a Griddle, but we still wanted something that was sharp and that was...
It was cold. It was icy.
Yes, right. You know. And so we landed on the xylophone. I got a real xylophone actually for a record that I'm making right now and brought it in. And we just immediately were like, the Frostmage is the xylophone. And
yeah.
So that little pokey, tinny,
like super high-end, almost glockenspiel-y sounding instrument, that's a xylophone. And that is like the Frostmage's instrument.
Yes. Which also... all we'll say about that is if you listen back to the Frost Mage, there's some other melodies in there that they don't give away, but they set up a larger part of this story. Actually is interwoven into the Frost Mage, his theme, beyond the xylophone.
We wanted to kind of hide little bits and pieces of story in score form. So in some of the score, you'll definitely hear that, but yeah. It's definitely fun to listen up on and then catch it later.
Yes. Let's talk really briefly about the Melody Keeper. The idea is that Harborne, in a way, a lot of its old magic and a lot of its old mystery had some roots in music. And so that's where the idea that he would be a storyteller comes from, and why he uses the language that he does is that he's singing a song to people. And the song is called The Quest for the Best Song.
Right.
And that song has movements, and that's yes. what we're listening to.
And we meet him in his hut. And as a traveler or wherever you came from before,
yes.
and now you're listening in on this grand tale, which is the quest for the best song through his movements. And we kind of pulled that from just the history of telling tales and stories and great feats via song. What is a great way to remember something that happened? Well, someone made a song about it,
yes.
you know, way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Whether totally. This is the medieval times or at any given point in history, songs are storytelling. So
yes.
that was kind of the idea behind the Melody Keeper being your host. Do you want to give more insight on regional instruments?
Yes. So again, if choosing our instruments is now an intention, right? We also wanted this story to feel that as the characters moved, the music was changing and reflecting the areas that they were getting into and leaving. And so the primary example that we have in the story so far is as Glonk and Willub make their way into Dagger's Edge, which is at the foot of the mountains, we kind of meet our first, I guess I kind of want to call it like a featured instrument. Like
yeah.
we meet our first featured area instrument,
mm-hmm.
and it's the mountain dulcimer. Because Dagger's Edge sits at the foot of these mountains, and again, as we were going into the mountains, we kind of had this feeling like, how can the sound change and the score reflect kind of where we are? And so it's this really cool, like, Appalachian rhythm
right.
instrument. And so as we move into the mountains, it starts in Dagger's Edge, you meet the dulcimer, and then it is throughout 4, 5, 6 other mountain-specific score moments, like the Mine Mountain itself, the Mine Miner too, and as they leave the mines, it's just kind of the spirit of the mountains.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's like a good way to put it. Why don't we touch too on some vocal hums?
I guess, yeah, this is a good time. We don't use a lot of vocal effects in the music. In the Spring of Solitude, honestly, still my favorite use of vocals is Oakshire. These villagers that are moved to such elation, such excitement, that they cannot help but sing, but they have no words to sing. They just sing lie, die, die
right.
at each other. And yeah, the Mine Miner is like another use of vocal, like almost putting the character of the Mine Miner into the song itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, building the track, taking that into account, we essentially built a sort of a loop that would continuously go through the track chord-wise and rhythm-wise.
Yeah.
And then we would like sparingly add like new things in to keep the audience listening. Helps
yes.
make it not as repetitive. And that's kind of how we build out those longer tracks. We also do kind of like a beat switch.
Yeah.
kind of switch up to like a little bit more upbeat section in the back half of that,
mm-hmm.
which adds a little bit more intensity to the end of that fight. It kind of ends on a last, you killed him. There
right.
it is. You beat the boss.
You did it. Yeah.
You will be proceeding through this quest.
Yeah.
you don't have to make new guys.
Yeah. Because again, a lot of this stuff that we're scoring, the format that we're scoring it for is a podcast. And so some of those moments need to be editable and able to be moved around and chopped and flown around a bunch of different places. And so it's like building, some of it is loopable. Some of the scenes, you know, are longer because of how they're edited. Some of them are shorter. And I guess that's the other really fun, rewarding part of what we're getting to do is some of the, I guess, assets that we're creating are loops. But if you listen to the Mind Miner just as a straight track, the arc of the whole song is, in music form, the battle that happened.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You have an enemy introduction, you have first rounds of combat, you have a death in the middle where the track fades out, and then you have, okay, the characters are pissed and they're gonna kick this guy's ass.
They're gonna beat him up, man.
Yeah, and that's just all there in the form of the track. We do that a lot more now, of almost time stamping moments and scoring where the song moves to the actual dialogue, you know, like a film score.
You know,
you sit down, you listen, you timestamp where you want your transitions, where you want the melodies to rise and fall.
Yeah, we will get the edits.
Yes. You know,
from the team, and then listen through those, kind of make rough timestamps, mm-hmm. and be like,
yeah,
all right, this little bit should be around this long before we go into like the big fight or before, yes, this happens. So that kind of helps give us some direction too of how long a certain loop should be or how much we need to write for that particular section, which has been kind of fun and challenging as well.
Right, yeah. A lot of times it kind of magically adds to these moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sandra Spirit, starting with the piano, Willub's transformation, him realizing what's happening, and that's when you hear like the Willub flute line over his dialogue, you know, and them realizing like the bear of love is in my heart, you know. Let's talk about these live takes.
We wanted to save that for last, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's these themes that we wrote, but you're experiencing them as you are a character in the story. And so those are the most sound designed, mm-hmm, tracks of the score. You and I tracked the background voices, the characters in the tavern, and Drew and Cam are mixing the levels of everything. Kyle's designing these sound effects from the doors to placing the people in the room to where it sounds as the listener like you just walked into this tavern that Glonk and Willub were like 2 days earlier.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think I remember just Chris was over and we were doing a score thing and I was procrastinating because that's probably what I'm best at those sessions. And I was like messing around with my Nord and found a saloon piano patch and was playing the Oakshire theme and was like, listen to how funny and how taverny this sounds.
Right.
And I was just like, ding 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 ding.
Right.
And just kind of like played it really fun as if someone was playing it in a tavern. Like that was like a known song throughout that city.
That's how traditional music, how it was passed around.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, it's like these standards that people know. And so like just treating our world in the same way of like, oh, at some point in time, somebody composed this town a song. Right. Like imagine if like Atlanta had This Is Atlanta song. And you walk into any like bar
club
and like somebody remixes Atlanta's song and everyone's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Yo,
this is our song.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But like that adds to the comedy of really what's happening with these right. tavern songs. It's like everybody knows Oakshire, man.
Right.
Everybody that has ever been through or has lived here knows Oakshire. And now we're in this bar and we're getting crazy.
Also was like, oh, every tavern would have a saloon piano. So how funny would it be right. to take the theme and have a 2 or 3 piece band playing it
right.
with just a piano and a guitar, or a piano and like 2 guitars,
yeah.
which you're playing the guitar. So essentially it's like me and Chris traveling around Harborne playing.
Exactly. Yeah. playing. It's like us almost as the score composers creating musician characters.
Right.
Where when we score the towns, it might be, you know, there's 12 instruments on the town theme.
Right.
But in the bar, there's only 3 musicians on stage. And how are they translating what everybody knows as the town theme, like onto just two instruments or three instruments.
That being always like a saloon piano.
Yes.
And whatever like the stringed instrument is or like kind of primary instrument.
Yeah, because Dagger's Edge has the dulcimer on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is super fun too, because wherever else we'll go, we'll also bring like that cultural regional flair to the tavern theme.
Yeah.
Keeping it essentially me and Chris traveling around playing these songs in the taverns.
The characters of Christopher Chaput and John Fusner live in Harborne on the bard stages.
Yes. Come see our set. Venmo us tips.
Yeah.
Please.
Well,
is there anything else?
The amazing part about this whole thing is that what we're talking about is two score collections for nine movements. There are a lot more movements in this podcast to be sung by the Melody Keeper. So there are a lot more score collections to come out. We already have, spoiler, we already have half a full collection already composed since the last time we dropped a score collection. So we will be putting out score too, a lot, along with the story. And we hope that kind of feels like a journey too. Again, the score collections are streamable anywhere you can stream music. Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon. The Tabletop Tales Collections 1 and 2 available now. They're great for traveling around, listening to. Also great for playing sessions with and playing other tabletop games.
You can go to our Patreon. It's The Tabletop Tales.
Yeah, $5 a month. Every single new score piece of music or sound effect is updated every 2 weeks if you just want to listen to the score before anybody else. There's already music from Collections 3 and 4 in our Patreon right now, available to listen to before they're released on streaming services.
Right. So go check it out. We love you. Thank you for listening.
We'll probably be back to talk about some more favorite themes and some more favorite instruments that pop up down the line.
Right. Follow us on Spotify on both Christopher Chaput and John Fusner, as well as follow the podcast so you don't miss a movement.
Yes, Movement 11 comes out in 2 weeks. Stick around. It's really fun. Again, the party meeting each other for the first time.
This is essentially the official start, like we said before, with all the four characters at the table going forward from here and going to figure out who this Frostmage is.
Thank you again, friends. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Much love from the Tabletop Tales team and our characters in Harborne.
Yes, we will see you in the realm.